The next item I would like to mention is the International Spanish Language Broadcast. This committee was given the responsibility of overseeing the implementation of that. We had a meeting in May with the with Eva Georgia from KPFK. The programming committee did, that is to say, and we asked this board in June to schedule a discussion with the general managers so that the KPFK general manager, Eva Georgia, could discuss how the International Spanish Language Broadcast would be produced so that we could get buy-in, as it were, participation from the local station management to assure that when the program was produced, it would be carried. In spite of our efforts to have this call, we have not been able to even discuss this matter on the air at a program committee meeting with the other general managers. So, in other words, we can't move this issue forward until management will allow us to have a discussion between Eva Georgia and the other general managers about how this program is going to be produced. The next item I would like to mention is the fact that the chair of the governance committee, David Adelson, and I had a meeting on December the 21st last month with Stanford University law professor Lawrence Lessig, who is one of the world's leading authorities on intellectual property and licensing issues on the internet. This has to do with the issue of how Pacifica will distribute its programming, both local programming and national programming, to audiences not just in the signal areas, but nationally and throughout the world. If we're serious about growing as a network, if we're serious about our mission, then we should want to do this. So we met with David Adelson managed to get us a meeting with the world's leading authority on these issues. And Professor Lessig told us that not only were people interested in a network like Pacifica developing the capacity to do this, but he personally would work with us in developing the licensing instruments, both for local programming and network programming, so that when we do these things, there will be licensing agreements embedded in the broadcasts, which will enable, for example, when we have women's collectives at local station levels that develop shows that they want to distribute throughout their community, these agreements will enable them to do that without violating Pacifica policies, but it will also enable them to raise money so that they can continue to produce programming that supports their community. Currently, this doesn't happen. Not only was Professor Lessig interested in working with Pacifica to do this, he said he would help raise money with internet developers and other folks from Silicon Valley who are interested in the issue of digital distribution. So the fact of the matter is that if Pacifica is willing to move forward in this era of digital distribution, we have some of the key authorities that will help us do that. And I think that this is a major step forward for us. I'm very, very impressed, and I'm thankful that David was able to do this, because Pacifica has not in the past had, you know, strategic alliances with the people that are creating the technology which will show us where we go tomorrow. Digital distributions, iPods and stuff like that, are changing the way people listen to radio. And I'm not suggesting that should change everything about what we do, but it means that we have potential for growth in that area. So that consists of, that's my report. Mr. Chairman?
I'm just going to take the liberty to clarify. What Mr. Lessig is offering to do is come and meet with the programming committee. There's a licensing component of that policy, to work with them and with our executives to hear the concerns and to work out a particular licensing policy. It's not that we're coming with a fixed proposal. So that was the point of the discussion. So we get that level of talent and connection. He's an author for Wired Magazine, serves on the board of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, has a deep understanding of both the you know, finance needs and the licensing possibilities to basically start an open source media movement that will also support institutions. And I know Lonnie's talked about that. So without spending too much time, I just wanted to say that there's no firm proposal. It's an offer for participation.
No, but he's offered to come and address this board at the next meeting in March.
So I just have a question. Is there an action? The board passed a motion in Houston that it would have implementation of the policy at this meeting. Am I correct that implementation, that the committee's not prepared to offer a specific implementation at this time?
Let me try to make a motion. At this point, we have 20 responses network-wide on the policy. I would like to make a motion that we continue to gather input from the stations, from the programmers. But I would also like to ask that particularly the programmers that have expressed an interest in this and have put forward information can work with the programming committee to help develop implementation standards. Because quite frankly, my efforts to get responses from the general managers have been very, very meager.
Your efforts have been meager?
Pardon me?
Your efforts have been meager?
No. The responses... I had to send copies of this document to the general managers multiple times, even though the general managers and the program directors were copied on every single meeting of the program committee last month. We don't have input.
Would the motion be to delay until the March meeting and request that all managers respond to the and comment on the policy?
With the proviso that I would like to convene a group of programmers that have taken the time to comment to help us develop some implementation measures.
You don't need a motion from the board to do that.
Thank you very much.
What is the motion you're proposing?
The motion is that we then extend the time until March and gather further input.
Is there a second to that? Okay, Don? No, that didn't come from committee. The committee, that's not a motion.
No, it's not the second, but the motion isn't needed because if we're going to just extend it, I don't...
The reason the motion is useful is because it time binds the process, and the reason I believe we got the response level that we did manage was because we said it was going to happen in January. So I would disagree that the motion's not needed. I think it is needed because it specifies a time.
I'm not going to appeal the decision of the chair.
It's not my decision. I was just...
A point of information?
Yes.
In your statement to Director Robinson, didn't you say that it would require a response from the managers?
I asked. He didn't make that in his motion.
We can't require that.
Don?
Well, I just want to report, and I want to commend this committee because I will say I have not seen any report out of a committee that has generated more interest around the network, at least at KPFK. And our management at KPFK and our programmers are responding. There was a major programmers meeting where this was one of the major, major agenda items. Our program director, our general manager, they're taking it seriously. They're bringing in programmers to discuss it. Listener sponsors want input. So I really appreciate, pardon me?
The board, right.
And the board, this was a major issue at the LSB meeting. People are deeply appreciative of the work that Rob and Dave and this committee is doing. However, there are also about five areas in the proposal that have really been lightning rods for concern. So I deeply appreciate the fact this is going to be postponed until the next meeting. I know in our signal area you are going to get response because people are functioning very well putting this together, including our general manager. So I appreciate the extension. I'm going to vote for it. And I do want you to know that it is not being ignored, you know, in the KPFK signal area.
Can I respond to that a little bit?
I'd like to recognize people who haven't spoken. Lydia?
Yes, and I want to point out that when you read the proposal is to read it very, very carefully instead of reading into it. That is to say, I have heard some people saying, oh, well, this is pushing Arbitron, and when, you know, whereas it specifically speaks to research firms and so forth. I know Dave and I had gone to Mexico City, spoken to people who could do some kind of polling and research, not Arbitron, very progressive people that we have known for years, and they gave us some input onto the methodology, et cetera. So that's not what this was referring to, and so there's a number of elements like that. I personally was extremely impressed with the bulk of the proposal, and the fact that no one previously, at least not since I've been associated with the PMB off and on, has taken the time and the effort to pull all of the elements together and initiate this. So the least we could do to show our appreciation is to everyone give the input.
2.5 minutes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, then we're going to move to processing the motion before us unless there's a motion to extend. Okay, then all those in favor of the motion to continue the process of input until the March meeting, please raise your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, 17. Patty, yes or no? 18, 19, 20. Okay.
20. It's unanimous. Given that we still have 2 minutes left in this item, if you want to comment, Bob, I know you had your hand up, and Alan, if you can each hold your comments to a minute, and then Rob can finish, then we can hear from everyone who wanted to speak.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. I generally agree with what Don and Lydia have said. I just want to point out that there's starting to be some discussion at WBAI. I think all five stations, really, it would be helpful if the program directors would convene a meeting such as the one that happened at K to really get into this in detail. And I do applaud the hard work and the vision of the statement, but there's several areas of concern that people are looking at and others may want to focus on, which include what Lydia said. I think the language around the need for surveying listeners is vague and needs to be sharpened, so it's clearly not a call for more Arbitrons. And the question of the linkage between fundraising capacity of a show and its continued presence on the air, I think absolutely has to be, we have to break that linkage, which I think is a dangerous linkage. And also lines of responsibility and authority for local versus national decision-making on programming have to be very clear, and I would hope in a more bottom-up, clear-cut bottom-up sort of fashion.
Lydia mentioned quickly, and I just want to concur that I think it would be wise as programmers from the local signal areas maybe are encouraged to convene, that also the LSBs are encouraged to participate in reviewing the document closely.
Well, we really don't have time, but there AC hasn't spoken yet and wanted to speak, so I'm going to recognize him before.
Yeah, I would like to have that extended to the managers, because I know at PFW we don't have a program director yet. So perhaps the managers and the program directors, if the motion maker would include that.
Yeah, the key is that maybe we can ask the ED to ensure that this management participates in the programming committee calls where the issues are well, I'll leave that to the ED, sorry. That's not in the motion. You had something for 20 seconds?
A member of our program council just mentioned this to me the other day. I'm going to go back to KPFT and make a renewed effort to approach our program director to have him have a specific discussion of this, and also a specific discussion in program council renewed. So I'm looking forward to the discussion.
And I'd just like to thank Rob for putting so much work into structuring this so that we can have that bottom-up discussion, because without that leadership, that bottom-up discussion doesn't take form. So thank you. The next thing is the Governance Committee report. That's before you on your desk. It was also emailed to you several days ago. I apologize for not having it in the board packet. The committee report contains two motions for consideration by the board. The committee's considered three items. An item not listed in here is the consideration of the Ken Freeland suspension, which the committee dealt with and in a divided vote didn't pass any motion yet to bring to the board. So I believe it's still at the committee level. Is that correct, Bob? I believe there's something further we're going to do on it. Or is the item?
Maybe Ken could address it.
Ken, is the item completed? Okay, so what should be concluded in the report is we don't have a motion on the Freeland suspension from the committee. The other two items in the report are a policy on contracts. The PMB in June of 2004 asked the governance committee to develop a policy on contracts oversight by the governance structure. And basically the idea is that when we enter into contractual relationships, if they're important contracts, that there should be some form of oversight by the PMB and ability by the governance structure as a whole and ability to comment on those things because they really define the nature of our relationships. The policy is extensive, and what I'm going to do is it's my belief that we cannot properly process the full motion at this time given the time constraints, and I suspect this is something that's going to take a lot of discussion. So I'd like to take the second item first, and because I think we can dispense with that rather quickly, and then deal with this in the time we have available. If people are ready to vote on it, we'll vote. The second item had to do with the status of Susan Young, who is the chair of the KPFK Local Station Board, and a question was raised whether her service on a body called the Miller Theater Advisory Board violates the provision of the bylaws that prevents service on by any delegate as a member elected or appointed at any level of government. This is this section of the of the report starts below the line of asterisks following the boldface on page 2 and starts in addition to its consideration of the policy on contracts. We considered the issues, we considered it at 2 meetings. We received written input, a memorandum that dealt with many of the issues that had an influence on the board's thinking is included in pages 4 through 6. So if you want to look at some of the rationale, it's in there. But the motion from the committee is that Susan Young be required to resign from the local station board as long as she serves as an appointee on the Miller Theater Advisory Board. This is not a precedent. The reason the committee specified that the ruling should not be set precedent is that the committee is in the process of working to develop unambiguous guidelines for determining compliance with Article 4, Section 2 of the bylaws. The committee lacked the time to fully develop clear language in time for consideration by the PMB at this meeting, but will do so as early as possible. The rationale is... I do want to read this part of the report. The committee recognized that Ms. Young acted in good faith and sought the advice of the election supervisor regarding whether her service on the Miller Theater Advisory Board violated this section of the bylaws, and she was advised that it did not. However, after consideration of the details of the case and with reference to the original written comments of the election supervisor regarding criteria for determining whether service on particular bodies might constitute service at some level of government, the governance committee voted in favor the following motion, and the vote was 6-3 with one abstention. And so that's the motion before the board. And I will just add that the issue on which it hinged is the fact that the Miller Theater Advisory Board, while it's referred to as an advisory board, apparently has the authority to disperse tax revenues. And so that's the basis of the criteria that the committee's discussing. And it's on that basis that we ruled that her continuing service on this board, on the KPFT board, should be contingent on her resigning from that board, and that it does not set precedent, as I said. So it's open for discussion.
Point of information, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I'd like to know a little more about ramification of that Miller, the tax kind of a ramification of it. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
The clearest writing of it was in this memorandum that the committee received. It's on page 4 through 6, and I'll point you to the section. On page 5, actually, in the middle, it says, the below are listed the duties listed on the Miller Theater Advisory Board
slow
website.
Down, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I'll go slow when I get to content. So middle of page 5, below where it says Terry Barish is Pacifica National Election Supervisor. It says, the Miller Theater Advisory, and this is from the Miller Theater Advisory Board website. The Miller Theater Advisory Board is appointed by Mayor Bill White and confirmed by Houston City Council. Through Section 32 of the City of Houston's Code of Ordinances, the Miller Theater Advisory Board has the following duties. It administers grants to organizations performing at the Miller Outdoor Theater. It solicits donations to support the theater and manages donations received. It manages the contract for Miller Theater's concession operations. Proceeds from the concession sales support the outdoor theater's free season. The Miller Theater Advisory Board manages an allocation of hotel occupancy tax to support performances in the free season. Is that clear? Is that an adequate answer to the question?
Yeah, that's these are the basis. Is that the
well,
basis?
Well, I'll read the paragraph below. After review of the above, it's clear that the Miller Theater Advisory Board is not advisory, but in fact distributes tax dollars and manages donations received. It also manages contracts for concessions. So that was that. I think is the information that made the board and made the committee vote as it did. Is there other debate? Does that complete your point of information?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll call on you for debate if you like.
That's fine.
Debate. Let's start with. Since you're on the committee, can I go to people who are not, and you can? So I'll go to Lydia and then Ken. Oh, excuse me, Ken. I remember you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to request that we hear from Richard Phelps, who is an attorney, somebody who's done research on this area and has studied this particular question. I would like to allow him a minute to speak to this issue.
We have his written comments, and I think it would only be fair then to hear from Susan Young as well, and I don't want to get into a hearing at this time. So I'd like to, now the members of the committee, Deb.
I'm in a minority on this committee, and I do feel that these views should be heard. This bylaw is, in fact, a bylaw, and I'm willing to abide by the interpretation of it as being correct. However, it was made for a particular condition, for a particular person who was on the board at that time. This is always bad legislation, and we need to consider whether we need to continue to support bad legislation. Susan will resign the Miller Theater position. We are not changing the board. We are not changing anything. She has no conflict of interest. There is no conflict of interest between what she's doing on the Miller Theater and what she's doing at Pacifica. And what we are doing is only robbing Miller Theater of a very important, competent help in their entertainment process. I think that what we ought to do is let this one pass and revisit that bylaw. It needs to be written so that it can be fairly applied in all cases. And while it's very clear that we do not want the powers of the state controlling what goes out over our airways as it does in so many commercial stations, we also have to really stretch to think that someone who is deciding who shall play at Miller Theater is going to control what goes out over KPFT.
I'd like to alternate between pro and con, because if we ever have to cut off debate, that allows both sides to be heard. That was opposed to the motion. Are you speaking in favor of it, Lydia? Okay, who is there anyone speaking in favor of the motion? You've already spoken, Ken, hang on. Go ahead.
I think the previous speaker is speaking off the issue, because the real question here is not whether or not the particular actions of the individual are in conflict with the board. And in fact, there is a member of the local station board, Ted Weisgall, who claims that her actions are in fact in conflict with the needs of the local station. But the question here is simply whether or not her presence on that board as an agency that allocates $1.5 million worth of tax money per year is a violation of the bylaws. And clearly, according to Terry Barish's original argument, that is the deciding factor as to whether or not someone is in a politically appointed office that is a violation of, that sets up a conflict of interest with the bylaws, that puts them at odds with the bylaws. So I think it's a cut and dry case. I wish we could hear from Richard Phelps on this, but that's my understanding.
I just want to clarify, if you look in the report, it can refer to Terry Barish's thing at the end of page 4 and beginning of page 5 is that piece, and the paragraph he's referring to about Barish's comments is the last paragraph where it says, for example, a tax abatement commission. That's where the former election supervisor describes that distinction. Sandy?
I'd like everybody on this board to understand that at the local level, at KPFT, this issue is not new. It's come up before, and consistently a clear majority of our local station board has stood in favor of letting Ms. Young continue on the Miller Outdoor Theater Advisory Board in her current role. The Miller Outdoor Theater has last year graciously consented to several weekend Saturday days to allow KPFT to have outreach functions, which involved a variety of music, entertainment, community action to try to enlist new listeners. This is simply a ploy at the national level by a minority on our own board to cut Miss Young's involvement off with Miller Outdoor Theater. I think it's spiteful. I have already spoken, so I can't move to table. Otherwise, I would.
Lydia, you wanted to speak, then Mary?
I want to speak to something outside of the Houston dynamic, okay? And even if we put in their words, this is not a precedent, that is not legally binding. It is a precedent. And the problem is that it would be destabilizing throughout the network. There are at least two people on our local station board at KPFK that could be affected. One in particular, that Terry Barisha specifically, they allowed them and said after the facts were made known that they serve on a neighborhood council or whatever, and the election supervisor, whom we have given a great deal of power to in making these determinations, made the determination. These objections were not raised at the national board level at right following those elections, which would have been in the appropriate time. Therefore, even though I absolutely agree it is in violation of our bylaws, however, in practice, the entire board, PMB after PMB, has allowed this to exist, and so now it becomes like either it's either like some political ploy or whatever, but it would be very destabilizing throughout the network because there it isn't just about Susan Young. It does set a legal precedent, and we would be bound by that. So I recommend that we vote no.
Actually, Zarina, I'd seen Zarina's hand before I'd seen Mary's.
3 minutes, Mr. Chair.
I just wanted to say also, and I'm listening to what Lydia is saying, that this piece to me is a bit confusing, and to say the least, and I dare say on the LSB around the country, all of them, and our PMB, if all of us or some of us may not also be in violation in terms of organizations and other groups that we are part of. And let me just also say that I do recall in San Francisco where some of the tax money, the hotel tax funds, go towards the ballet, the opera, the community theaters, any number of groups. And I think the same exists in a lot of other cities and states throughout the United States. So perhaps there are many of us that are in violation, and I am wondering if this is just a political ploy, which seems to be the case in a lot of our LSBs.
We're now at time, so
move the
okay, the call of the question was withdrawn. There's a motion to table. Now, just to clarify, a motion to table puts this off the board's agenda until we'll vote to bring it back. A motion to postpone until a time specific would bring it back. You want to table, Ambrose, or postpone to time specific?
Table.
The motion is to table. We're going to go straight to a vote on it, lacking time. So all those in favor of tabling this motion, please raise your hand.
One, two, three, four, five.
AC is here too.
Six.
Sorry.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
All those opposed?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No. 12 yes, 6 no.
And to clarify, this motion can be brought back to the board by a motion to take it from the table and the majority vote. At another time.
Can I ask a question,
yes.
Mr. Chair? Wasn't this the Marion Barry rule?
Yes, it was. Well,
can those of you who
that.
Would
I object
no,
that.
No, listen to me very carefully. You should explain what that was about so that everybody on this board knows what that was about.
I'm not going to do that now. The issue has been tabled, and we can discuss it at another time, but not now. We're at time for the item. I just want to finish by saying, and nobody has moved to extend.
You want to know what this was
if
about?
If you want a motion to extend, but the item has been tabled, so no, it's not, further discussion's not in order. The other item that is in this report is a contracts policy. We don't have time to deal with it now, but the committee has put it forth to the board. It will be the first item on our agenda at our next committee report. I urge all board members to look at it. It has a lot of implications. I also want to note that the committee sent to the IED and the general managers and the archives manager a request for comment, and only Eva George of KPFK responded. The governance committee will meet between now and when we next consider it, and I imagine that I would like to ask that board members look at this, submit comments to the committee, and in particular that members of the administrative council also comment, and perhaps they can do it through the ED or come and participate on the call. But that, go ahead, Lonnie, quickly. If it's
yeah, I just wanted to request. Just wanted to request that the ED and the CFO participate in the discussions.
I think I said the whole admin council, and that does include you, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. What is this, Ken? Is this debate, or is it a point of order, or not?
This is a procedural
go ahead.
Motion. I'm requesting an extension of 10 minutes time to be taken to be added to the total meeting time to allow the opportunity to review and consider a new motion for regarding my suspension. Because that was given to the committee.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Bob seconded it. Is there any further? Actually, let's just go straight to a vote. All those in favor of adding 10 minutes to discuss, to consider a motion relating to the Freeland suspension, please raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
All those opposed?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That fails. It required a 10. It's not 2/3. It's an amendment of the agenda. An amendment of the agenda requires a 2/3 vote.
It's an extension. It was a request for an extension of time for this committee's report. It's not an amendment.
That changes the agenda. It changes the time on the agenda.
Mr. Chair, we haven't been using a 2/3 vote in the past.
I believe we have.
To extend time?
I believe we've been. I mean, every time we had more than a 2/3 majority, I believe. You can bring it forward at the next meeting if you like. Is Mary, am I correct that we've been doing 2/3 every time?
Yeah.
On extensions of time?
Well, as far as I know, we've had 2/3.
Yes, because I raised that with her to make sure.
Over the last two, but not before.
Not before. Yeah, I didn't realize it. That is true. Well, if anybody would like to change their vote out of deference to Ken, because I didn't enforce that, and I think it was the first two extensions.
Right.
But I believe we had that vote anyway. So would anybody care to change their vote to give him a 2/3 majority?
I have a point of order or a point of information.
Yes.
I thought that new business would come at the end of an agenda. We've shortened some very crucial items all this time to take care of things that have already been agendized. And if necessary, I'll make a motion that new business should be noticed to us 30 days in advance.
This is not new business. This is unfinished.
Okay.
This is business that went before the committee and it was part of the committee report.
Right. Okay.
This was part of the committee.
It's part of this. Okay.
The issue had been referred to the committee. I believe this is the appropriate time to deal with it. Alan has agreed to change his vote so we can consider for 10 minutes this question. Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Point of information, where will the 10 minutes come from?
Right, from the end of the meeting.
Thank you.
Everything will be advanced 10 minutes.
Mr. Chair, I don't want to belabor this issue too long, but the fact is that this issue was given after a great delay of many appeals to the Pacifica National Board, to the Governance Committee for review. The Governance Committee had a split vote when a motion was made to reverse the suspension. I want to point out to this board, and this is the key point here, that Director Shafto at that time was allowed to debate and to vote on this issue, and yet my concern was with her motion to suspend me, okay? This is tantamount to allowing an accused criminal to sit in his own jury and decide the matter. If she had not been allowed to vote, and I requested of the committee that she be recused, that would not have been a split vote, and my suspension would have been, recommendation would have been made to reverse my suspension. She should not have been allowed to vote, and I ask that the PNB override the decision of the committee to allow her to participate in the debate and in the voting as to whether or not her motion to suspend me was legal. It's totally ludicrous to allow somebody to decide on the legitimacy of their own actions if that's what is under debate. And so I'm asking that we send it back to committee with the understanding that Deb Shafto, as the perpetrator of the motion against me, not be allowed to vote or debate the matter unless I'm also allowed to debate.
I'd like to ask the member not to use inflammatory words like perpetrator.
I beg your pardon. Promoter of the motion. Well, no, sorry, the person who advanced the original motion.
The maker of the motion.
The maker of the motion.
Discussion on the, and please keep time. I think we have like 7 minutes left. Rosalinda?
I have a question. The person was dismissed, but now he's on this board. So why are we discussing this issue?
And before that, a procedural point. The original motion was to reconsider at this time. Now you're changing that to refer back to the governance committee. Is that correct? Is that what I heard?
Mr. Chair, I would be open to an amendment I didn't make an original motion to consider.
Okay,
this
so now you're asking the board to consider this.
I'm asking the board to look at the issue, at the process under which this was reviewed by the governance committee as illicit.
I don't know any mechanism for the board to look at the process. Can you be clearer on what the motion is?
Well, I think that the your report was that there was a split vote, and I'm asking the board to consider the fact that that split vote was due to the fact that the original maker of the motion was allowed to vote as to the legitimacy of her own motion, and to reconsider whether or not that's a legitimate way of processing this question in committee.
I don't think the board can vote that we reconsider it.
The board can vote to require that Ms. Shafto be recused from future debate and voting on this question.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the motion.
Okay. I'd like to ask the board to remain in order, please. It's hard enough as it is without the side talk. However, I'm still not entirely clear on the motion. I believe the motion is to re-refer the item to the governance committee and request that Ms. Shafter recuse herself from the committee's consideration. Is that correct?
Is there any
objection on the board to the framing of the original motion in this way that I just clarified it? Okay, then Lydia?
And I don't think that there's any precedent, and I would hate to see it on this board, to start disenfranchising members of the PMB for expressing opinions on advisory committees if it were a binding vote. Instead, it's an advisory committee. There is no need, in my view, for Deb Shafto, who presented the other side, without which the committee wouldn't have had some perspective on it. And we certainly got Mr. Freeland's side of it as well in documentation and by other advocates of the committee in the person of Ted Weiskel. So I do not think that there was anything unfair. There was no reason for Deb Shafto to recuse herself. And again, it's advisory. It's coming to this body for the binding decision. So I oppose it.
Move to table, Mr. Chair.
There's a motion to table. Yes.
Second.
So it's been seconded. All those in favor? Tabling.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, sorry. Raise your hands again. If you're going to raise them, let's see. Is everybody voting that wants to for yes? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Okay.
12, yes.
All those opposed?
I see. Oh, one opposed.
Two.
Two?
Three.
Okay. 1, 2, 3 opposed. Is that correct? All right.
Okay, then that's two. Okay. So,
point of information.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, what then is the status of this issue if it has been referred to the committee and there has been no report back to this body?
It's been placed on the table, so it's not before the board or its committees until a motion is made to bring it before
Dave?
Them.
Dave?
Yeah, Bob?
I have another motion on this topic.
How much time do we have left?
I do.
We have 4.5 minutes.
Point of order, Matt?
Go ahead, Bob.
Point of information.
Do you have a point of information?
Sorry, 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, well, just quickly, when an issue has been dealt with by the governance committee, for example, and it's been there, it needs to be brought up again somehow. When is the appropriate time to bring it up?
A motion like that comes before the board, and the board votes on it.
Right, but at what time? Something that was dealt with in governance, and then perhaps brought here or not, when can that be brought up again?
I would say that it would be appropriate to take it off the table during a governance, during a portion of a meeting devoted to the governance committee. That would be my opinion. If anybody else has, but I'm not certain on that, I can look into it and let you know. And before we have our next meeting. Bob?
Have the copies been passed all the way around?
Yep.
Okay. All right, this is a motion. This is not related to the motion we just tabled. This is a substantive motion about the Ken Freeland suspension, which, if I may, can I read it?
But you have very little time.
Right, and I recognize we're not going to have time today to deal with this, so I just want to put it out there for board members to think about, and perhaps we could re-refer it to the committee to look at in depth. All right, resolve that the Pacifica National Board finds that the procedures used by the KPFT LSB on August 10th, 2005 in suspending member Ken Freeland immediately following the LSB's rejection of a motion to expel Mr. Freeland denied Mr. Freeland certain due process rights that must be provided in cases of disciplinary proceedings for alleged conduct outside of an LSB meeting. Specifically, number one, the holding of the proceeding in executive session, despite Mr. Freeland's request for it to be held in public and his written waiver of his right to confidentiality. Two, the last-minute addition of a motion to suspend to the agenda after the motion to expel had been rejected without the required two-thirds vote to amend the agenda, and when it was past 1 a.m., after some members, including Mr. Freeland, believed the meeting had been adjourned and therefore left the building, although someone informally notified Mr. Freeland and he then raced back to be present, thus denying Mr. Freeland notice that this separate disciplinary matter would be taken up. Three, the failure of the motion to suspend Mr. Freeland to list any specific grounds for that discipline. And three, and four, the denial of Mr. Freeland's right to defend himself at the subsequent LSB executive session, at which the LSB voted to further define the suspension to deny him participation on LSB committees. Further resolved that while the PNB passes no judgment on the validity or invalidity of the charges brought against Mr. Freeland, it expresses disapproval of the KPFT LSB's denial of the previously listed due process rights to Mr. Freeland, and further resolved that the PNB directs the Governance Committee to develop recommendations for a code of conduct for LSB and PNB members and procedures for conducting future disciplinary proceedings, including suspensions, by LSBs and the PNB in a manner that will guarantee members' due process rights.
Before I recognize any second, I'd like to ask that the motion be adjusted to say that we refer this motion to the Governance Committee, so we can just go straight to a vote on that. And I'll also rule the last portion out of order, since the Governance Committee is already considering code of conduct on those items.
Mr. Chair, we're at time.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion to refer this? Lisa Davis seconds it. We're going to go straight to a vote, lacking time. This is to refer the letter of motion to the Governance Committee. Would those in favor, are there any objections? There are objections. Everybody in favor of the referral of the letter of motion to the Governance Committee, minus the last section on code of conduct, please raise your hand. Which is out of order. It's already before us.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Ambrose, to clarify, it's withdrawing the recommendation to develop a code of conduct, just because that's already before us.
We didn't, Mr. Chair, we didn't do no votes on that?
I'm sorry, the no's?
No, there's 20.
I'm sorry?
We didn't do any no votes on that, but 11.
No, we know. Okay. How many no votes are there? I got involved in side discussion. I apologize.
1, 2, 3. 3 no's.
Okay. Lydia, is your hand up or not? Lydia, is your hand up or not for on the vote? No.
I couldn't see you at all, Lydia. You're going
Lydia
no?
Voted
okay, four
no
no's.
Also. Okay, thank you. That ends the Governance Committee report. The next item on the agenda is the Elections Committee, which we have taken 5 minutes from, so 10 minutes. LeVarne Williams is the chair. Ken, you have timing 10 minutes?
The LeVar and Miller